All right, welcome everybody. On a Wednesday this week, Trash Talk Turner Basket is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, I've got Tyler Sawa with me. What's up, Tyler? I hope everything is well. Now, before we get into the program this week, I do quickly want to thank the sponsor of this week's episode. This week's episode of Trash Talk is sponsored, as always, by Michigan-based Roast Number Coffee. If you love coffee like me and are looking to try something new, give Roast Number a try. Whether you prefer hot or cold coffee, Roast Number's got you covered. They got their nitro cold brew, which is really good. They got their whole bean ground coffee, which is also very good. Visit the website roastnumber.com. If you do make an order, use my coupon code TONYD to save yourself 20% off. Capital T, capital D, no spaces. Thank you very much, Roast Number, for sponsoring this week's episode. All right, Tyler. How are we doing today? You know, it's just me and you this week because instead of our normal recording time on like a Monday night or a Tuesday night, we're currently recording on a Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. That's because we're going to the Wings game tonight, me and you, against the Arizona Coyotes. So first of all, how are you? How's everything going? And are you ready for tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing well. This is an interesting time structure that we're recording at right now. A lot of stuff is going on right now in the NFL. And I know we're obviously going to cover that. And as far as the Wings game tonight, I'm excited, man. We got Jacob Varana officially coming back, making his debut. And definitely excited for the Wings game tonight. And excited to see Varana tonight.
Tyler, me and you are undefeated when we go to Wings games together. So hopefully that continues tonight. Hopefully we don't look back on this episode tomorrow and go, ah, oh, if only they knew. I mean, we can't beat the Coyotes again. Oh, my goodness. But
and this is not like just like a 1-0, 2-0 type thing. This is a 5-0. Record right now that we're holding right now. Yeah. So a lot of stakes on this game tonight, so hopefully the Wings continue our streak. And you know, we're getting towards the end of the year, so this might potentially be our last game. You know, that's not for sure yet, but you know, if we can go out with a bang and be undefeated all year long, that would be a very successful year at LCA.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is Tony at post production. So the Wings lost 9-2 to the Arizona Coyotes. Maybe the most embarrassing loss I've seen the Wings have, I don't know, ever. The game was really, really bad, and it was just a joy to see in person with Tyler. Me and Tyler agreed we're going to try to go to one more game this season. We can't end like that. we can't end our going to LCA experience this season for the Wings with a loss like that. We got to try to go to one more game and try to end the season with a win. We don't know when, but we'll try to figure it out. But yeah, our winning streak together is over of going to games and seeing Wings win this year. That game was terrible. That game was really bad. But nonetheless, on to with the regularly scheduled program. We got to try to get one more Saturday night game in there, especially since there's going to be probably no Tigers baseball in April.
Okay, if it's April, it's not a big deal, but I thought you were going to say something more than April. I thought you were going to say we're not going to see Tigers baseball at all this year.
Oh, no, I hope we don't get to that point, but I mean, who knows?
Nothing shocks yet.
Yeah, who knows? They've already canceled some games. They might cancel some more.
But there's still a chance for 162.
Oh, yeah.
Baseball is an interesting state of mind right now.
Yeah, interesting is a good way to put it. I'm just tired of it all at this point, but that's neither here nor there. No baseball talk today. But still, Red Wings game tonight at the time of recording this. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. But nonetheless, Tyler, let's get into the program this week. Good to have you in here on the show, and good to have everyone in here listening as well. So let's get right into it. Tyler, as promised, this week is going to be our Lions free agency preview. And I'm looking forward to this because, you know, the Lions, even after their season last year, which they only won 3 football games, they're an interesting team to watch for in free agency this year. There's some reports out there that the Lions could be a big player, reportedly, in the wide receiver free agency market. So I'm really looking forward to talking about that and what else the Lions could do in free agency this offseason. But before we talk about that, though, you know, as you kind of hinted at a few minutes ago to start the show, Tuesday has just been a crazy, crazy day in the NFL. There has been so much big breaking news that has broke today on Tuesday. So I do want to start the show before we get into our Lions free agency preview. Let's go over some of those big NFL stories that have broken on Tuesday, because some of them have to do with the Lions, and then some of them, they don't have to do with us, but they kind of have something to do with a member of the Trash Talk crew, Graham Richards, our Vegas Patriots fan. Oh, excuse me, our Vegas Raiders fan. So we'll get to that in a second here. But to start, let's begin with Aaron Rodgers being back and signing that reportedly massive deal with Green Bay. So yeah, what's your thoughts on that, Tyler? That's not particularly great to see that Aaron Rodgers is back.
Yeah, I mean, throughout the season when the Packers were playing really well and they were the number one seed in the NFC, I just had that gut feeling that Rodgers didn't return for another year or two, and this whole Last Dance thing that they've been talking about before the season and him sitting out and all that, I just had a gut feeling that he was going to be back in some way. Now, we don't know the exact logistics right now. Ian Rappaport reported that it is 4 years, $200 million. Pat McAfee saying that's wrong. Aaron Rodgers himself said all those logistics are not correct right now. So we don't know the full-on years and how long he's going to be there. But at least going into the 2022 season, we know for a Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Green Bay Packer.
And Davante Adams, too, by the way.
And Davante Adams, because he got franchise tag, yeah. So I don't think this is the worst-case scenario for the Lions in 2022. So if it ended up just being a one-year thing and that's truly the Last Dance, I don't think that's a bad scenario for the Lions, because I don't really think there's much expectation for the Lions in 2022 to make that much of an impact or that much of a jump. I think the real year where the Lions are expected to compete is probably around that 2023 range.
2023.
Yeah, that's the year, I think, where they'll probably go out and spend more money, and that's the year they expect to compete. So if it ended up being just a one-year deal, I don't think that's a bad case scenario for the Lions. But with this Ian Rappaport report, even though it's not official yet, if it ends up being 4 years or even 3 years, that is a bit of a gut punch to the Lions, because that division comes a lot more tougher with obviously Aaron Rodgers in the division. I don't know. It obviously sucks. It makes it a lot more competitive. It makes it a lot more difficult to win the division, because Rodgers is obviously a very, very, very talented quarterback. And with them being able to keep him, that it sucks for the Lions. But I was honestly thinking about it. At first, I was heartbroken. I'm like, damn it, we're going to have to see Aaron Rodgers for another 4 more years.
Yeah.
But on second thought, if the Lions ever do get it right, if they ever do fix it and win a division, I think it would be so much more satisfying if we beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers than beating Jordan Love and the Packers. That's just me personally. Obviously, it's a lot more difficult. There's a lot more obstacles for the Lions to get to that stage, but you know, it's indifferent. I wish he was gone, but it is what it is.
Someone tweeted after the news broke that it's just going to be like a year-to-year thing with Aaron Rodgers. Like, he apparently did really consider retirement this offseason, so if that's the case, you know, I thought to myself, if he was really considering retirement, how do you just go from that to signing a 4-year deal when you're like 38 years old or whatever and you're getting closer to 40? Like, that really didn't make much sense to me. But after seeing someone tweet that, oh, it's going to be a year-to-year thing with Aaron Rodgers, that makes me feel better about this, as you said. But I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. I thought this would have been the end of Aaron Rodgers in the NFC North, but I mean,
A retirement would have been perfect for the Lions and just the NFC North teams, because at that point, the Packers are not receiving anything in draft compensatory. And we just saw what Russell Wilson got traded for, which we'll get into a little bit. Aaron Rodgers would have got a haul.
A massive return,
For whoever team is trading for him. So best case scenario for the Lions would have been Aaron Rodgers ends up retiring, the Packers get nothing, and they lose Aaron Rodgers. But ends up staying here, and like I said, it sucks, but I think Dan Campbell put in the best words. You got to expect and prepare that he's in the division, because that's how it is right now, and that doesn't change the philosophy and how you're going to win, and you still have to build a team how you want to build your team, and this doesn't change the thought process of the Lions, even though it's going to make it more difficult. It just is what it is. You have to deal with the consequences, and you have to deal with trying to beat him, and that's going to be tough, obviously.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It is what it is. I mean, obviously, you have liked to have seen this be the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, but it is what it is. I do agree with you also that it's going to make it feel so much sweeter, though, if we can build a better team that can knock off Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, though.
Like, if you win the North with Aaron Rodgers in the North, that would be so much more satisfying than just beating any other Packers team. So I hope that day comes and we could all rejoice as Lions fans and laugh at this day that we were stressing about Aaron Rodgers coming back.
That'd be a great day for sure. But again, I mean, it is what it is. When I first saw the news, I was like, oh, here we go. 4 years? Oh, no, this is never going to end. But
yeah, I was pissed.
Yeah, but then, like I said, seeing the report that it's a year-to-year thing with Aaron Rodgers, he was strongly considering retirement this offseason. Honestly, who knows how much longer we've got to see Aaron Rodgers in the NFC North. Who knows? But again, it is what it is. Now, moving on from that, yeah, let's talk about Russell Wilson now going to the Denver Broncos. That doesn't have a lot to do with us, but it's still interesting to talk about. And it's also interesting to talk about because obviously Grant, who's not on the show this week because he's at work right now, he's obviously a Vegas Patriots fan. Oops, excuse me, Vegas Raiders fan. And now Russell Wilson is in his division. When I first saw the breaking news, I instantly thought of Grant. And I thought, you know, I kind of put myself in Grant's shoes and kind of thought, okay, if I was a Raiders fan, how would I think about this? And I didn't feel good. Because now the AFC West went from being really interesting to maybe the best division in football?
I think it's the best division in football.
Yeah, look at the quarterbacks in that division. You got Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr. That's insane. And again, I kind of put myself in a Raiders fan's shoes. And I was kind of like, all right, if I was Grant and I was a Raiders fan, how would I feel about this? Grant, I'm sorry if you're listening to this. If I was a Raiders fan, I'd be terrified. Because the thing with the Denver Broncos over the past 2 years is that they had a good roster. They just couldn't get the quarterback right. Well, now they got Russell Wilson. They gave up a lot, but they got Russell Wilson. And they're pairing up Russell Wilson with an offensive-minded head coach, too, which I think means a lot as well. So, yeah, that's a massive, massive deal. Russell Wilson going to the Broncos. What's your quick thoughts on that, Tyler? And kind of put yourself into a Raiders fan's shoes, too. Like, how would you feel if you're Grant Richards today?
Yeah, no, I mean, if I'm Grant Richards, it's a tough day, man. Russell Wilson, I mean, he's an established quarterback. And the crazy thing is, too, every Broncos fan, I feel like they're under the impression, like, it's Aaron Rodgers or bust. And we see the morning of Tuesday that Aaron Rodgers is going to stay in Green Bay. And probably Broncos fans are devastated. We're like, well, what are we going to do now with the quarterback position? Rodgers staying in Green Bay. What's next? And just a couple hours afterwards, you go out and get Russell Wilson, who is one of the top tier quarterbacks in the NFL, who's obviously won a Super Bowl, has been to multiple Super Bowls, and actually beat the Denver Broncos in a Super Bowl. But that's a humongous get for them, man, because that's a team that we've been talking about for, I feel like, the last couple of years, that they have everything around to be a very successful team. They're just really a quarterback away. And what the Broncos did, and this is a way I like it, go big or go home. They didn't take a cheap route, kind of like what the Colts did last year. The Colts kind of took more of a guy that's coming off injuries, a guy that, you know, has improved that he could be successful all season long in Carson Wentz. And maybe you trade a little less to get him, but with this one, you know what you're getting in Russell Wilson, even though you are trading a lot more. So it's kind of it is go big or go home. And when you play in a division like that, when you got Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in that division, you got Justin Herbert, a nice young upcoming quarterback like that, you have to go big or go home when you're playing in that division. So love the Broncos strategy here, what they're trying to do. And like we said, man, they've had a squad to win for, I think, the last 2 years. And I think getting Russell Wilson gives you a legitimate shot to be considered contenders now. And we know the NFL, anything could happen any given week. But I think right now we could definitely put the Broncos in that category where we're looking at them as legit contenders to make a Super Bowl and even maybe win a Super Bowl.
The Rams were very, very aggressive in getting a lot of their key players that helped them win a Super Bowl. And it's a copycat league. So now you see Denver putting all their chips into the table, if you will, to go get Russell Wilson. And again, that's a smart move by them. I agree, because like we said, the one thing they've needed over the past 2 years is a quarterback, and they just got one of the best quarterbacks, not only in the league, but ever. I mean, it's Russell Wilson. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer when he steps away. So, yeah, that's a big, big deal for Denver. And I know you're probably happy, too, because this means Seattle's going to stink. But
dude, you know, they're so fraudulent. They're such a fraudulent team, man. Thank God.
I think it's a good deal for Seattle, though. They had to do it. They absolutely had to do it. You know, you were seeing reports a few days ago where Seattle was like, yeah, we have no intentions of trading him. It's like, well, what are you doing? Like, you have to. You need to rebuild this team. And they accepted it. They traded him, and they got a nice return back. I mean, what was it? 2 firsts, 2 seconds, a fifth, Shelby Harris, Drew Lock, and Noah Fant, I believe. Like, that's a haul. And that goes back to what you said earlier about Aaron Rodgers, about if you could get that much for Russell Wilson, imagine what Aaron Rodgers could get you, the back-to-back MVP winner.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely crazy. And, I mean, Russell Wilson's, like, not old, but he's 33 years old. So
Yeah,
I mean, he's still got good years in him, obviously. But, yeah, dude, Aaron Rodgers' value would have been absurd. It'd probably be another first-round pick added with that, with those 2 firsts, those 2 seconds, and the pledge that you just mentioned. So maybe even 2 first-round picks added to it, or it would have been something absurdly crazy if Aaron Rodgers was available.
Should we try to cheer Grant up a little bit?
Is there to cheer him for? Oh. There's absolutely nothing you could cheer him with. This is an absolute worst-case scenario. They got a quarterback in the Denver Broncos. This is a team we've talked about for years. They just need a quarterback. They have a squad, and they have cap room to play around with. I know they don't have those first-round picks anymore, but my goodness, I mean, you're looking at Von Miller's a free agent. He could be back. He's tweeting saying, I miss my old locker room in Denver. No, Denver's scary, man. There's no optimism in Vegas right now.
Grant, I tried. I'm sorry.
Do you have any words of optimism for the Las Vegas Raiders?
No, I don't, but I was going to try to be a little optimistic. But
like, what is there? No. What is there to be optimistic about?
Who's the worst quarterback in that division?
He's my guy with Derek Carr. I mean, Derek Carr's not a shabby quarterback by any means, but out of those four, Derek Carr.
Out of those four, yeah, I might go Mahomes, Wilson, Herbert, Derek Carr.
Yeah, that's fine. Or you could even put Herbert over Wilson. However, like, I think that those are really close right now. But yeah, I think Derek Carr is clearly the number four quarterback in the division. I love Derek Carr.
Grant, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. Oh my goodness. Oh no.
Best stadium in the division. I'll give them that.
Okay, well, there's that. You got the best stadium in the division.
That's colors. Actually, the Chargers are pretty nice, too.
The Chargers got some nice colors. The
Broncos got some nice colors.
Oh, no.
Vegas is up there. They're one or two.
Grant's about to click off if he's listening to this. we've had enough. Let's move on here. The Lions also did make a move on a big NFL Tuesday, though. It's nothing close to being as major as Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. But, I mean, it's still a little bit newsworthy. Josh Reynolds is back on a 2-year deal worth up to $12 million, reportedly. My quick thoughts on it, Tyler, I like it. I mean, Josh Reynolds, first of all, he's only 27 years old, so it's not like he's, you know, old or anything like that. He's only 27, and in 7 games last year at the Lions, he played really well. 19 receptions, 306 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jared Goff in the offense was noticeably better when Josh Reynolds got here. And, you know, speaking of Jared Goff and Josh Reynolds, too, you know, obviously they played together with the Rams for a few seasons, so even before Reynolds got here, there's a connection there between Goff and Reynolds, and now they're going to play together going forward with the Lions. I like the move, and at 2 years, reportedly $12 million, worth up to $12 million. I don't think that's a bad deal at all. What's your quick thoughts on Josh Reynolds re-signing?
I think it's interesting. I didn't know what to really expect, what they were going to do with Josh Reynolds this offseason, because obviously the Lions need to go out and get some receivers this offseason, and we expected them to do it via free agency and probably via the draft as well. I wonder if bringing Josh Reynolds in, does that alter any plans of the draft or free agency of going out and getting a big guy? Because right now you have Amon Ross St. Brown. You now got Josh Reynolds, where he's a guaranteed at least a wide receiver 4, in my opinion, with the money you paid him. And you gave him 2 years. So I think he's at the very least a wide receiver 4. You have Quintez Cephas around. I mean, not to make this a joke, but Trinity Benson's around and Brad Holmes has said some hope about Benson.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you have some guys right now. I mean, what's the plan to fill in this receiving core? Is Reynolds is truly a wide receiver four, or I don't know what they're doing here.
I can't imagine it's going to alter the plans too much. I mean, it's better to have more than less.
For sure.
I mean, like you said, you still got Quintez Cephas, you still got Amon-Ra St. Brown, now you got Josh Reynolds. You expect them, as we'll talk about in a second here, you still expect them to go after one of the big free agent wide receivers, maybe spend the 32nd or 34th pick on a wide receiver too. It's better to have more than less, but I don't know. I never thought about that. If I was Brad Holmes, I wouldn't let it alter my plans. I mean, I would have brought back Josh Reynolds and still brought in two more wide receivers, one through free agency, one through the draft. Because, I mean, wide receiver is a big need for this football team. And if you can have Quintez Cephas and Amon-Ra St. Brown, you bring back Josh Reynolds, you sign one of these top free agents, and then you draft one of these stud wide receivers too. Suddenly, the wide receiver room, like, that is looking really, really nice. So, I don't know. If I was Brad Holmes, I wouldn't really let it alter my plans, but I don't know. That is kind of interesting to think about.
Because at that point, though, you have five receivers. You really only need three on the field. Obviously, injury happens, so you need depth behind them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wonder if a guy like Quintez Cephas is, like, okay with taking a wide receiver five role, because last year he was a starter. He did well before the injury. Reynolds, main reason he got out of Tennessee because he wasn't getting the ball enough and he wanted an expanded role and came here, came one of the more focal points of the offense. So, I don't know. I wonder how much more they invest in the receiver position. I know they'll definitely get one more guy of a high caliber player, if that's a high draft pick or a high paid receiver in free agency. But I wonder if that alters, are they going to still go and get two more high guys, like a high draft pick and a high end free agent receiver? I don't know what they do now. So that's something to keep an eye out for, I would guess.
Well, let me ask you this. What if Josh Reynolds, what if bringing him back is kind of like insurance almost, if you don't want to pay big money to an Allen Robinson or an Amari Cooper?
I think that's very possible, because I think that makes sense, because you have Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's already guaranteed to be a starter in your team. You can then get a rookie receiver. You can guarantee him to be a starter, and then you can kind of do this rotation of whoever makes more sense of that offensive package with Cephas and Reynolds, and those are your four receivers right there. And then your wide receiver five just could really be, you know, it could be any guy that stands out in training camp. It could be that Trinity Benson potentially if he has a good camp, or, you know, undrafted guy, late round guy, whoever. I don't know if it would make too much sense to go out and pay a big receiver and draft the receiver high end. I don't know. I think Reynolds is a guy who's more than capable of being a wide receiver three, being wide receiver four. I don't think he's a one or two, but I think he's more than capable of being a three or four for sure.
Overall, are you a fan of the signing though?
I don't mind it. I don't know. I don't mind it. Yeah, if you could, I don't know. It depends who was on the board for me, because if there was a guy that was maybe an upgrade, and I think that, like, that's a guy you should probably take at 32 or 34, and we don't need anymore as much because we got Allen Robinson, we got Reynolds, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, I guess that would hurt. But if we could start figuring out more positions, I think that's key. And I think Reynolds is more than capable of being a three or four, so I'm completely fine with it. I think you just need to get one more guy that's capable of being that one or two, and if that's via the draft or if that's via free agency, I think that's fine.
Well, now let's get into that now. So let's now move into the actual Lions free agency preview aspect of this episode. And let's start with the free agent wide receiver market that, again, as I said earlier, there's reports out there that the Lions might be one of the big players to go after a top wide receiver free agent this offseason. A lot of the big names have already come off the board, whether they've been franchise tagged and or extended. You know, you look at guys like Devontae Adams, Chris Godwin, and Mike Williams.
Or suspended.
Took some tips from Parlay J. I don't know. but anyway, again, go back to my main point. Some of the big names have already been taken off the board, but there are still some big names out there. You look at a guy like Allen Robinson, who I'm really interested in Allen Robinson. Look at a guy like Amari Cooper, who I've seen his name being thrown out there on Twitter over the last few days. Christian Kirk, DJ Chark. Like, there's a lot of names out there that you're kind of seeing being thrown around involving the Lions. So, Tyler, with that, let me ask you. I mean, simply put, do you think the Lions are going to go after one of these big free agent wide receivers this offseason?
I think they'll definitely be one of the teams interested in one of these guys. Will they end up getting one of them? I don't know that for sure, but I definitely think they'll be interested. And if the price tag is right, I think Brad Holmes will definitely ink him to a contract. Because I want to go back to the Rams' history of drafting. They value receivers a lot. I mean, last 2 second-round picks that they have, you know, spent, because they haven't had first-round picks because they don't keep first-round picks, the Los Angeles Rams. But the last two drafts in the second round, they have taken receivers. Last year was Tutu Atwell, and the draft before that was Van Jefferson. They've always had 3 to 4 guys that they could really count on, and that's just where Brad Holmes really comes from. They had Brandon Cooks. They had Cooper Kupp. They had Robert Woods. So I think the Lions will definitely be interested in these free agent wide receivers if the price is right. And I think same with the draft as well. I think they'll definitely be interested if there's someone they believe that's worth that pick.
Let's do this now. Let's say you're Brad Holmes, okay? You want to go after one of these top wide receiver free agents. You had to pick one to go after. You're Brad Holmes. Which one are you signing?
I have an unconventional one where I think many Lions fans are probably not thinking. I feel like most of them are thinking Allen Robinson or Amari Cooper, and I think those are great. I think that would be good additions. But one I like a lot that's kind of underrated, and you mentioned him already, DJ Chark. I think he is a very, very underrated guy. Missed most of the season last year with, I believe, an ankle or ACL injury. He was out for the whole season. He got hurt around week 5, week 6-ish. But, you know, he's still only 25 years old. Mm-hmm. He's a deep threat, 6'3", has speed. I think he's a guy you could definitely build around in the long term, and he could be a legitimate one or two, and I think you could save a couple million with going after a guy like Chark than going for a guy like Robinson or Amari Cooper. So DJ Chark is definitely up on my list, but like those guys you mentioned, I think they would be really, really good additions if that's Robinson or if that's Cooper, but DJ Chark might be my favorite guy in this market.
I like DJ Chark because, as you said, he's only 25 years old. He'll be 26 in September. And just because of the age aspect of him, I think he might fit perfectly with this football team in our window, I guess, if you will. Now, let me ask you about Allen Robinson, too, because you mentioned him briefly. I think that's the guy, if I was Brad Holmes, I'd really go after. He's going to be 29 when the season starts. That's a little concerning for me. He's a little bit on the older side, but I don't know, man. I feel like if you sign Allen Robinson, he could be like a one or two for you for sure. What's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's definitely more of a guarantee than Chark. We've seen multiple 1,000-yard seasons with poor quarterback play. I mean, he's never really had a true quarterback.
Oh, be nice to Mitch.
He's never really had a true quarterback. I mean, played with Blake Bortles for multiple years, then played with Mitch for multiple years, played with Mike Glennon for a little bit, I think. I mean, he's played with a lot of different quarterbacks, and, you know, not to be disrespectful, not the highest-end quarterbacks. And he's still produced multiple, you know, being a legitimate wide receiver one. So you're definitely getting that more guaranteed. And I think if Brad Holmes went that route, I think that would make sense. Even though you'd be investing more money, even though the guy's a little older than a guy like Chark, you're getting that more of a guarantee and that more of establishment. And I think we can make the argument, too, that receivers are like, you know, not like a cornerback. They're not guys that decline us faster. Receivers last a little longer. So even though he is turning 29, you lock up Allen Robinson like a 3-year, 4-year deal type thing. I think he could still produce for you throughout the whole contract. I don't think that would be much of an issue of, you know, wondering if he's going to decline or whatnot.
Yeah, I didn't want to make it seem like I have concerns that he's going to decline right away. I didn't want to make it seem like he's a dinosaur or anything. It's not like he's 39. He's going to be 29. That's not terrible, but,
no.
You know, in the NFL, it is different, though, from other sports, where once you start to creep closer to 30, though, then,
especially corners.
Yeah. I still feel like Allen Robinson would be my guy, though, if I was Brad Holmes. Maybe there's a little
guy too.
I was just about to say, maybe there's a little bias there because he's a hometown guy, but I think that would be the guy I'd go after if I was Brad Holmes. You picked DJ Chark, which I don't think is a bad answer either. Now, let me ask you about Amari Cooper, too, because, like I said a few minutes ago, he's a name that I've seen being thrown out there on Twitter over the past few days, and it seems like it's kind of a controversial topic on whether or not the Lions should sign Amari Cooper. I've seen some people be all for it. I've seen some people go, oh, absolutely not. What's your thoughts on that? I wouldn't be against it, but at the same time, as I just kind of mentioned, he wouldn't be my top guy to go after if I was Brad Holmes. He might be like my two or three, but not one. That's Allen Robinson for me. But what's your thoughts on Amari Cooper, possibly?
Yeah, I think that's a fair range if you like him as your two or three. I'm just kind of surprised by like the disrespect and like people are so against going after Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I don't. Where did that come from?
like where's this? Like, he's not good. He's injury prone. I think the guy's missed like not even 10 games in his like 8-year career, and he's like, he's played like every game. I know he plays through injuries, but he doesn't miss many games. He's a very productive receiver too. I mean, he has had multiple 1,000-yard seasons too. He's definitely a guy that you could put at a wide receiver one or wide receiver two, and I think would be a great compliment to Amon-Ra St. Brown. And to be really fair, I think he's a great fit for Jared Goff. Jared Goff has been really good with those like route runners, you know, those really good route runners. Cooper Kupp was one of those guys for him. And not that Amari Cooper's Cooper Kupp by any means, but he's still really, really good. You know, he's a really good receiver, definitely a one or two on most NFL teams. I don't see where he's anything below that. So I don't understand the disrespect to Amari Cooper and why people are so avidly against if we went out for a guy like Cooper. I mean, you're paying him around the same money as Allen Robinson, and how much definitively better could you say that Allen Robinson is better than Amari Cooper or Amari Cooper is better than Allen Robinson? I feel like they're very, very similar, and if you have a preference, I understand that, but like I don't think we clearly say Allen Robinson is clearly better than Amari Cooper or Amari Cooper is clearly better than Allen Robinson. So if you like Allen Robinson, you should probably like Amari Cooper too if they went that route.
Yeah, and regarding this whole narrative that Amari Cooper is injury prone – I have no idea where that came from because I'm looking
where
at
where that come from.
I don't know. I'm looking at the numbers right now. Throughout his entire career, 16 games, 16 games, 14 games, 15, 16, 16, 15. Like, he doesn't really miss games.
He plays with injuries. Like, yeah, like every guy gets hurt in the season, and there's a lot of guys that are questionable in injury reports every single week. But if he ends up playing and ends up still being productive, I don't see the issue, honestly.
He only played 15 games last season. You have to remember he missed a few because of COVID, remember?
Yeah.
So if not for that, it probably would have been 16 again or maybe even 17. Who knows? But yeah, I don't know where that narrative came from. I'm not one of those people that would be against possibly signing Amari Cooper. I don't know what the price would be to get Amari Cooper, but I would still be interested.
I would assume close to the same range as Allen Robinson. You would probably anywhere from like 16 to 20, maybe 15 to 20. That's what Mike Williams got today with the Chargers. I mean, they're a little older. I mean, Amari Cooper, I think, is 27. Will probably be 28 going into
the
season.
Yeah, he'll be 28 when the season starts.
So maybe a little less. So Mike Williams got 20. I would assume anywhere from 15 to 19, somewhere around that range for both those guys. And maybe Chark around anywhere from 12 to 16, maybe even 11 to 16.
I'm excited going into this free agency knowing that the Lions could be a major player for one of these top wide receivers. That's exciting for sure. Now, let's move on from the wide receiver market and go into what other possible positions could be addressed by the Lions in free agency. We talked about it a little bit either last week or the week before. I asked you, like, hypothetically, what's one player that you would sign this offseason if you're Brad Holmes, and you said if you remember Marcus Williams. Yep. So when I think of what other positions could be addressed by the Lions this offseason outside a wide receiver, I do think safety, and obviously I think you do as well. But really quickly, what other positions do you think could be addressed by the Lions this offseason? Do you think safety is the number one position outside a wide receiver that will be addressed this offseason?
I think with a guy like Marcus Williams being on the market, that's why the safety could be one of the ones where they spend a lot of money towards, if that's the guy they can get. That's if they can get him. Another position they need really, really badly because they don't really have many guys under contract. You know, you got Derek Barnes, you got Anthony Pittman under contract. But other than that, you don't have much linebackers under contract. I think Devontae Beckett.
I was just thinking about that too. Safety and linebacker would be my top two.
Linebacker is a big question mark right now, and how are you going to address that position? Jalen Reese-Maybin's a free agent. Alex Anzalone's a free agent. I would expect them to probably bring Jalen Reese-Maybin. I think that's one of Brad Holmes' top priority, and I think there's that mutual interest that he's probably going to be back.
That'd be a good guy to bring back.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a guy you want to bring back. He's a really good player, man. He's not going to ever be the best player on your football team, but he's a really good football player you want to build off of. Good, really good special teams guy. He was a captain for you. I think there's that mutual interest that he's going to be back. He was with the Lions at the Senior Bowl with the scouting department. So I feel like there's that mutual interest that he's probably going to be back, and I think that's a good addition. But do you want Jalen Reeves maybe being a 17-game starter? I don't know if they want that. I think it's a guy that they like if they can count on to start, but I don't know if you want him to guarantee him that spot. So I think linebackers, a position the Lions could really, really look into this offseason and free agency market. But the linebacker market is not all that hot. And
yeah, I was just looking at the top free agent linebackers now.
There's not really much out there. I'll give you two names that I think the Lions could have an eye out for and guys that they could be starters for this Lions team for sure. One of them is Devondre Campbell, was with the Packers last year. Had a really, really good year for them. A guy that's you could count on to cover tight ends, cover running backs, and he was really productive. He's a tackling machine. And then another name I'm going to give to you, a former first-round pick, has had a kind of an up-and-down career, Leighton Van Der Esch. I think that's also a name that the Lions could be potentially linked to in this offseason. So I think those two guys are linebackers I would look out for and see if the Lions can maybe have some interest there.
Leighton Van Der Esch is interesting because, like you say, he's a former first-round pick with Dallas. And there was, especially towards the early parts of his career, where he was looking like maybe a big piece on that Dallas defense.
Yeah, I know. He's had a very up-and-down career.
He's had injuries, hasn't he?
I believe so. And I think with this staff, if they see something in him, I don't think they would mind pulling the trigger on him. I mean, Kelvin Shepard obviously did wonders with Charles Harris last year. And I think if they look at this former first-round pick, they see the tools that he's had. And you just mentioned, you know, he's had an up-and-down career. I mean, if they think they could unleash him to be a more consistent player and a consistent starter for them, I don't think they would mind pulling a trigger on a guy like Leighton Van Der Esch. He's still very young. I think he'll be 25 going to the season, so a lot of wiggle room there. So that's a name I'd keep an eye out for the Lions.
I'd like that a lot, honestly. I really would. Let me bring up this name to you, Alex Anzalone. He was good for the Lions last year. I believe he was a team captain too, correct?
He was, yeah.
Would you bring him back? Maybe I wouldn't drop the bank for him, obviously.
No,
but like
no.
If you could bring him back on a cheap contract, I think that'd be a nice piece to bring back. He wasn't bad last year at all. He was kind of a meme earlier in the season.
Yeah.
He was struggling early on, but he eventually got it together and he played well, I thought.
Anzalone's interesting. I feel like the Lions are at that point where they want to start going at the upgrading spot. I think Anzalone was a perfect stopgap. Like he was good for a year. He's a good depth guy, but I feel like you're at that point. I think Jalen Reeves-Maven is more of a priority to bring back than Alex Anzalone. So that's probably the route I would go resigning of linebackers. So I would prioritize Reeves-Maven first. I think you have to really look into trying to develop Derek Barnes and potentially being one of those guys that you could start. So I don't know if I really see much of a role for Anzalone. So I feel like there's going to be probably that mutual interest where they'd probably just move off of each other and Anzalone probably goes to a new team this year. And you know, if they could bring him back as a depth piece, a little lesser role, I'd be completely fine with that. But I just feel like there's that mutual interest that they're probably going to move off of him, and the Lions are going to look for more of an upgrade probably there.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, if you can upgrade, please upgrade. Like, absolutely. Not a shot at Alex Anzalone, but yeah, if you can upgrade, for sure upgrade. But I mean, he was nice last season, though. If they decide to bring him back, I wouldn't be totally against that.
No, absolutely not.
All right, so it seems like we're kind of in agreement here. Outside a wide receiver, it's safety and linebacker. That would be the other two positions that we would really address this offseason if we were Brad Holmes. Now, I'm going to go back to the if you're Brad Holmes scenario, pick a player that you would sign. But here's the thing, Tyler, because we already talked about this in a previous episode, not Marcus Williams again. If you're Brad Holmes, a safety or a linebacker, or maybe just anybody, you're Brad Holmes. What non-wide receiver free agent are you going after this offseason?
Going after Devondre Campbell. I think he makes a lot of sense. He's a little older. He's 29, but I think he is a for sure upgrade over what you had. He's a guy that you could definitely count on to be that starting middle linebacker. So Devondre Campbell's a guy I would definitely go after if I could choose one guy that's not Marcus Williams or a receiver.
You know who my one guy would be? And this isn't someone who you're not necessarily bringing him in. You're re-signing him. Tracy Walker.
That's a good one.
I think you got to re-sign Tracy Walker. Because while Marcus Williams is obviously a stud and all, like I feel like Tracy Walker might be a must re-sign this offseason. He balled out last year, man. And, you know, you would watch those locker room videos. You could tell that he was a big piece in that locker room, too.
He's a leader.
Yeah. I feel like Tracy Walker definitely might be someone the Lions really have to bring him back. And if you can't bring him back, then you really got to try to find someone nice to replace him.
Yeah, I think they only go a route of replacing Tracy is like if they know they could clearly upgrade. And I think the guy that, like, this is like the only clear upgrade who's like younger is Marcus Williams. Like, other than that, like, you have some veteran safeties. You got like guys like Quandre Diggs out there. And he's a little older. So I wouldn't say it's a clear upgrade over Diggs. Is it an upgrade? Probably. Or over Walker. Is it an upgrade over Walker? Probably. But is it a clear-cut upgrade for your long-term? I don't know about that. So I think the only guy they would bring in if it's not going to be bringing back Tracy Walker, it would have to be Marcus Williams. I think that's like the only guy, honestly, in this market.
Do you think it's a bit of a reach? Or do you agree with me when I say that it might be you have to re-sign Tracy Walker? Like, it's a must re-sign.
I would say it's a must re-sign if you can't get Marcus Williams. That's my only, like, my only thing. If it, because I don't think you could get both of them.
No.
That's just too much.
That's too much money for one position. Yeah.
Yeah. Too much money attached to the safety position. Where in this class too, there's some really good safeties.
Yeah.
You could probably get a starter in day two, or maybe even late day one potentially. So, if you can't get Marcus Williams, then Tracy Walker is immediately an automatic. You have to bring him back.
I'd like to see him back.
I think he will be.
If I had to bet, I feel like he will be too. But I'm just saying, until we see that he is back, I will be saying you gotta bring him back. I think that's a piece you absolutely 100% need to bring back. It's going to be exciting, man. It's exciting. Like I said earlier in the show, the fact that we won only 3 games last year and we're being talked about as being a major player possibly in free agency, maybe going after one of these top wide receivers or addressing other positions. It's exciting, man. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens next week.
I could confidently say that I think the Lions will definitely get a multi-year guy. Like last year, the only multi-year contract they gave was to Romeo Okwara. Everyone else was just one-year deals, see what you could do, kind of try out a little bit.
Well, wait, wasn't Jamal Williams a two-year deal?
He was a two-year deal, sorry, yeah. So okay. It was Jamal Williams and Romeo Okwara. I think those were the only multi-year deals that the Lions gave out. So I think I can guarantee them to at least get a couple multi-year deals out there in this offseason. If that's their guys, I think they'll get some other guys that weren't on their team either. So, like, Tracy was probably, you know, one of those guys. Guys, Reeves Maven's one of those guys I think we could look at potentially getting those multi-year deals.
Well, they already gave one to Josh Reynolds.
Josh Reynolds and Jason Kambinda. They already gave out 2 multi-year deals. So I think we could look at some outsiders even get some multi-year deals too. Like, you know, you mentioned those receivers or safety, whoever it is. So I think I'm confidently saying that.
Brad Holmes did mention earlier this offseason that something on the lines of, like, we're now in the bringing more talent in here phase of the rebuild. We're not trying to just ship people out and get like assets or whatever. We're trying to build now, I guess, if you will. That's something that Brad Holmes kind of mentioned this offseason. So this is part of it, bringing in guys in free agency. It'll be interesting to see, man. I'm looking forward to next week, and I'm excited to talk about what the Lions do next week as well.
Yes, sir. We're in the middle of that NFL crazy stuff, craziness right now. You know, you got free agency, you got the draft coming up. It's a lot of smoke is going to be coming out very soon.
It's going to be fun, man. This is an exciting time of year to be an NFL fan. I'm looking forward to it.
And especially when your team is, like, looking to spend some money.
Like us, yes. Yeah,
you're not going to be, like, one of those teams that are going to be, like, spending all the bank to, like, compete for a Super Bowl, but you're going to be a team that's looking to improve your team for sure.
Absolutely. For sure. Any final words from you, Tyler, before we get out of here? Outside of wide receiver, linebacker, and safety, you think there's anything else the Lions might look to address this offseason? Like minor moves?
Yeah, no, I think you could definitely expect some minor moves. Like maybe
obviously, but like...
Yeah, like maybe you go out and get like a defensive tackle. There's a name I've been keeping up with. I think like Harrison Phillips, like, you know, he's in that mid-tier range. Yeah, so I think he's a name that you could look out for. Good rotational player. Could start if an injury happens. That's like a mid-tier fridge. It's not going to be costing the bank. That's a guy I look out for. I think a swing tackle is very important because you obviously know what you got in your starters with Decker and Sewell. but I think they could definitely upgrade the swing tackle. I mean, I don't think Matt Nelson and Will Holden are necessarily locks to be those guys. Terrell Crosby looks like he's going to probably be off the football team. So I think a swing tackle is probably...
Is he still on the team?
He's technically is, but I would assume he's probably going to get released because he was rehabbing with the Lions, but I assume he's probably going to... They're probably going to move on both sides.
I thought we released him a while ago. I didn't even know that he was still here.
That was the initial report that he was released, but he got placed on IR instead. And
You learn something new every day.
So he's technically with the squad.
He was gone.
But he's not really with the squad. He was just rehabbing here.
Okay.
So the Lions are definitely in the market for swing tackle. And then that's really about it. We said backup quarterback. That could be something to keep an eye out for. I think running back is fine right now. Edge rusher.
I wouldn't want to spend money on a running back.
No.
Netflix is a perfect example of what running back in the NFL is today. You don't need to spend high resources and money for a running back.
I agree.
And we're set at running back too.
Yeah. Backup tight end, maybe? That's
I was thinking about that. You think Brock Wright is really going to be the answer?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they could look to upgrade there. I think there's some names out there that they could use. There's Gerald Everett, former Rams guy, too. Mm. Played with Jared Goff. I think that's a name they could look out for. Mo Ali Cox with the Colts, blocking tight end. I think that's possible. I mean, you're coming from a scheme that very values tight ends a lot. Dan Campbell, former tight end himself, former tight ends coach, and then Ben Johnson, former tight ends coach himself. So I think a backup tight end could definitely be in the conversation as well.
You know Dan Campbell would love to get another tight end on this team. And you know what? That actually brings a question to my head, and this will be our final question before we get out of here. This might be kind of putting you on the spot here because this wasn't in our show notes, but is there a free agent out there that screams Dan Campbell?
Mo Ali Cox. I don't know if you even know who that is. The Colts, 81?
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's just like a big bruiser blocker. Yes. He's kind of like a Darren Fells a little younger than Darren Fells, but I wouldn't say he's as good as Darren Fells was in his prime, but a good blocking guy, played basketball just like Darren Fells. He could box out. He could catch the ball. He's a solid receiving threat. So that's a name I look out for. Not a big name by any means, but just screams Dan Campbell. It's Mo Ali Cox.
If he's a Dan Campbell guy, he'll be a fan of mine, that's for sure. All right, Tyler. Good little Lions free agency preview there. Like we said, I'm excited to see what the Lions do. Next week will be our reaction to see if the Lions did anything. It'll be exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. So, Tyler, good show this week.
Yes, sir.
All right. For Tyler Sawa and my entire crew, my name is Tony Dabrowski. Thank you all so much for listening to our Lions free agency preview. We'll catch you all in the next episode.